12 minutes to 8, you are listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. 50 years ago, a group of South African theologians released a document which challenged the church's response to what was seen as the vicious policies of apartheid. It became known as the Caters document, and to date, the exact names of the authors have never been officially released. It is widely thought, though, that Reverend Frank Chikane, a black pastor and theologian, and Father Albert Nolan, a white Roman Catholic priest and member of the Dominican Order, were the authors. The Caters document, considered a form of liberation theology, evoked strong reactions and furious debates not only in South Africa, but worldwide. Similar documents and writings have subsequently been produced by Christian liberation theologians in several other countries and contexts, including in Palestine. Now, to discuss the Caters document, we have this morning on the line Reverend Edward Arison. Reverend, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you and good morning to you and to your listeners.
Can you give us a little bit more background on the Caters document, how it came into existence and how it got its name?
Yes, thank you. You know, the document was really a second step. The first step was that people were questioning things in the churches in 1985. And they were asking, you know, how can a Christian policeman be shooting a black Christian child in Soweto? And so these were very deep faith questions that people were asking. And the document really emerged out of these questions. So it was never intended actually to be a document. It was really just small groups reflecting on these matters, but from a Christian theological perspective. And so that is how the document emerged. The word kairos is a Greek word, and it's in the Bible as well. And it means a special moment, a special time when God intervenes. And so we believed in 85 that we were in a kairos moment and that we had to see this moment as it was happening and respond to it. Otherwise, it will just simply pass us by and we will be judged if we don't deal with it. And of course, today we believe we're in a similar time around the question of the occupation of Palestine.
Now, it's speculated that Reverend Frank Chikane was one of the authors. He's still alive. Has he been able to confirm that?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, the whole process was run by the Institute for Contextual Theology in Johannesburg, and Frank was, at that time, he was the general secretary of this institute. So yes, there's no need for this kind of speculation, really, because there were a group of people who were working on it, in the offices of ICT, but they were called in as researchers, you know, to come and put things in a particular way to help people understand. For example, in the document, there's a whole section on Romans chapter 13, and theologians and biblical scholars had to look at the text and see what does it mean. I mean, Romans chapter 13 talks about the state as being appointed by God and so on. But what happens if the state is illegitimate and tyrannical? Those are the kind of questions. Mm. And you know, people don't sit in the pew and discuss those questions. You actually have to go to the sources and to the theologians to understand what exactly that means and in what it means in particular context. And so the theologians would have said to you, well, there's another situation where the disciples said, well, we have to obey God and not, you know, and not people, not men. And that obedience to God is the first important thing.
Now, what kind of impact did the document have in 85?
Oh my goodness! You know, no one expected that it would have the kind of impact that it had. The first thing that everyone must understand is that this was a challenge to the churches. It wasn't really a challenge to political structures or whatever. It is a challenge to the church to wake up, and so many of the church leaders at the time were almost caught off guard by the document. They generally wanted to support it, but at the same time they were very angry with some of the things that were said in the document. So it was like, you know, we talk about the church as a body of Christ, and so it was like some sort of antivirus or whatever that was put into this body and woke it up, you know, some sort of shock therapy that occurred with the churches. So that was the initial response. But the people on the ground were very happy. I mean, young people, women, the activists on the ground who were working against apartheid. I mean, there was, you know, extreme excitement. And also from the civil society movement, the UDF and so on, there was a lot of excitement on the ground. And then globally, it just exploded completely because the churches across the world found that this message was not just for South Africans, but actually for the global church. And that is why we could see the intensification of boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the South African regime at the time. And it was people, you know, like Archbishop Trevor Huddleston in the UK and other clergy in the US and so on, who were really at the forefront. And the Kairos document gave them that inspiration, really, to do that.
And you feel and you are optimistic that something similar can happen in the context of Palestine?
There's no question in our mind about this. You know, what is happening in Palestine is just downright evil. The language that we have used at this conference has been to say that, and it's the first time actually that anyone is saying this, is that the theology that underpins the kind of Zionisms that informs the Israeli occupation, the illegal Israeli occupation of Palestine, that we call it a heresy. Now, that is a very hard word. We called apartheid a heresy in the 80s, and we are now saying officially that which is happening there is a heresy. A heresy means it's completely against the will of God. It's against the teaching of the church, and therefore Christians across the world will now deal with the statement and ask, you know, what does it mean for them, and what does it mean for them in relation to the illegal occupation. And it's only when that starts happening, look, we don't look at government and say, oh, okay, the British government or the Europeans and so on must do this and that. They're not going to do that because they are part of the system of empire. Mm. And so it's the people on the ground who will reflect on this, and will put the pressure, will bring the pressure on the ground. So we have no doubt about that this will have a major impact on the churches and on the situation in Palestine and Israel today.
Reverend, thank you so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
Thank you. God bless.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
That was Reverend Edwin Addison.